Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch right here on LA Talk Radio, the company's, country's most listened to, irreverent, entertaining, and cool internet talk show. It's your host here, Dr. Michelle, like I said, and oh, as always, a great, great show and topic for you today. You're not going to want to go anywhere. Don't even tune out. Wherever you're at, in your car, in your office, chilling out at home, lucky. Keep it here, because we're going to be talking about a subject that a lot of people really don't understand, and they always ask me questions about in my private practice office. So let's get to it. Let me ask you some questions out there, guys. Have you ever been hypnotized? No? Really? Well, whether you believe it or not, most of us slip into states of hypnosis every day. You've heard that. Right, guys? You've heard that? So are you one of those people who think you can't be hypnotized? Listen to the radio and we will calm our voices and you are going to be mesmerized. No, just kidding, guys. Snap out of it. Just teasing. Today we're going to be talking about hypnotherapy, and we'll be clearing up some misconceptions that you may have about it. And we're also going to focus on the different ways that it might be of benefit to help you work on certain symptoms and feelings. And we're also going to talk about physical illness. Yeah, and hypersuggestibility, which a lot of us have. You know, so we're going to help you out with some of that depression and anxiety, and also just help you relax a little bit more and teach you some good things. So without further ado, my special guest today in studio, yahoo, is licensed psychotherapist and clinical hypnotherapist Jeff Tannen. He has maintained a private therapeutic practice here in Los Angeles for over 20 years and treated all issues, all mental disorders. Jeff's known for hosting workshops and groups in Southern California. He's also a columnist on mental health topics for local magazines, regularly appears on radio and TV. And like I said, today we're going to be talking about, you know, managing a lot of issues, maybe depression, anxiety, and help you kind of understand what hypnosis is all about and how our brains work. Now, that's a good thing to know. So I also want to, by the way, touch on Jeff's latest book. It's entitled Transference. Now, we talked about this several months ago, and it's fascinating. It's a great read. So kind of takes us on a suspense-filled journey as we explore the personal lives of a psychiatrist and his latest patient, who are both at the same stages in life. It's a great read. And by the way, it'll help you understand some of your own personal transference issues going on. What is that? We'll define that. We'll tell you about it. Anyway, Jeff Tannen, psychotherapist, licensed clinical hypnotherapist. Welcome to the show, my dear.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's great to be here on the couch with you today.
Oh, not only an intelligent, wonderful, helpful, you've been doing this over 20 years, right?
More like 30.
Oh, oh, wow. You look marvelous.
Oh, thank you.
You look like you've been doing it 15 years.
And to you too, my dear.
Only our, what, cosmetologist knows for sure. is that the way it goes? Oh,
yeah,
that's the hairdresser.
Like that,
forgot
right.
That. Well, so what we're going to talk a little bit, if it's okay, about your book, you know, which it's a really good read, by the way. I love the psychodynamic theories. You're good.
Oh, well.
And we're also going to talk about what transference means. The book's called Transference. So let's just kind of touch on that before we get into the hypnotherapy stuff. So what is that? What is the transference thing? And what are some examples of how we do that in our lives?
Sure. Well, transference was Freud's great discovery. What it is an unconscious redirection of feelings from one person to another. And when I say unconscious, I mean beyond awareness, really beyond awareness.
Okay.
So we don't know that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, Transference, a psychiatrist and his patient have some transference issues that are going on early in the beginning of the patient's treatment.
Okay.
And what happens is a typical transference situation whereby the feelings of this got a frog in my throat.
That's okay.
Excuse me.
Frog can join us today, too.
Yeah. So this patient, his name is Andrew Carter, comes in to talk about his life's issues, his little girl that's growing up, how to be a good daddy, how to deal with an impending divorce, lots of stuff on his plate.
Right.
And well, he starts having feelings toward the doctor, which to him feel inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And what is actually happening is that after a couple of sessions, he grows very fond of the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from there, these feelings of fondness grow to feelings of love.
Wow.
And this is really the sine qua non of what really happens in transference is people begin to feel, most of the time they feel love for somebody. And so he begins to feel these feelings and is rather embarrassed about them. The doctor, however, who's a real veteran, recognizes what is going on and allows him to expose these feelings and get to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will just say that a adventure really interesting, over the top, bizarre, fun, a fantasy adventure happens as the psychiatrist is really having counter transference toward the patient. And it is really his feelings toward the patient which begin to spiral the story and move it forward, and it has many twists. It's just a fun read.
It is.
It's a, you know, I hear it from people that it's a real page turner.
Yes.
People are enthralled with it. They just don't see what's coming.
And, and we're not going to tell them.
Right. We're not going to tell them. No. We're going to create a switcheroo here.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you're sort of waiting for the dynamics, you know, what's going on next? What is the patient thinking? What is the psychiatrist thinking? And what, you know, how are they feeling these different feelings? So, by the way, if you would like to pick up the book, folks out there, what's the best way for people to buy that online or
sure.
in stores?
Yeah, you can buy it online.
Yeah.
Amazon.com.
There you go.
BarnesandNoble.com. It's available in an e-format. So there's really any ways of obtaining the book, as well as from Lulu, L-U-L-U.
Mm-hmm.
which is the publishing company. You can get all of this information on my website, Jeff Tannen, spelled TANNEN.com.
Great.
You can get it there as well.
Super, super. Good book called Transference. So what happens is when we're in a therapy session, let's say, the patient sometimes transfers feelings onto the psychiatrist or therapist that they have unresolved about another person in their life?
Yes. They're
usually
stemming from childhood, and they're usually about a paternal, a father, a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this is really the good stuff to come out in therapy in the beginning, because it gives license to really explore the issues, and in some cases really discover where the real issues are. You know, that that go back to early childhood and with a parent.
And then coming to realization of why you're, you know, doing this, why the patient is doing this. And also we have to watch out as well, like you said, as therapists, for the countertransference. You know, do we have some unresolved feelings within ourselves, and what are we projecting onto these patients that may be negative or loving, or, you know, stuff that we have to work out, right?
Yeah. Indeed, it it does come up, and it can be a little startling. It can be a little awkward and uncomfortable for a clinician. And it does happen in psychiatry more so than any of the other you know, clinicians.
Oh, okay.
It does
like
happen
therapists
in psychiatry.
Or,
yes, a great deal.
Yeah.
I don't have it happen that often with my patients, because I have another kind of relationship with them where a good deal of the time I'm their hypnotherapist. And so, you know, they're not in a waking state in a lot of the time during the session to get involved and have a rapport with me that will build into a transference situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
The hypnosis kind of alters that.
Yeah, I would think so, because you are a trusted person, therapist, who's guiding them into relaxation, and there is trust that has to be built, and so I know that you really can do that with a lot of people, which is awesome. You have to be a special person to be a hypnotherapist, because I think a lot of people, you know, are scared of you know, letting things go and allowing someone to walk them through. But we'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Cool. We sure will.
I want to thank, by the way, my sponsors of today's show. And On the Couch is brought to you by CashInMyBag.com. Now, they want you to know about a great opportunity to help you turn something you already own into cash. It's those designer handbags and accessories that you just have around your home. CashInMyBag.com buys designer handbags like Chanel, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Prada, and many more. And they buy shoes and accessories, too. Simply go to CashInMyBag.com. Tell them the items you want to sell, and they'll quote you a price. Now, if you like their cash offer, just ship insured with a prepaid shipping label that they provide, and then you get paid. It's that easy. It's better than consignment. It's for immediate cash at high market prices. And their Google reviews are really amazing. So we're all moving on in life, and that means you might have expensive items you fell out of love with. I know I do. I have some of those purses. I say, why am I hanging on to these things? But they're beautiful, and someone else might want them. So they could be cashed in for new. If you're looking for authentic designer handbags, CashInMyBag.com also sells them at great prices. So visit your closet, gather up those designer handbags, shoes, and accessories, and get your cash at CashInMyBag.com. That's CashInMyBag.com. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the show today. By the way, guys, if you want to call in here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, feel free to do so. The number here is 323-203-0815. If you have any questions about what we're kind of talking about today, or if you have some issues or questions about, hypnotherapy. That was Freudian, wasn't it, Jeff?
Almost
said hyper.
Yeah.
Or depression or anxiety. Give us a call. You can also email me directly, docmichelle@aol.com. Love to hear from you. So we're talking about being hypnotized. We're talking about what you're calling, Jeff, which I really love. It's sort of like the anatomy of depression. And so many people want to know why they get so depressed. So we also were talking about hypersuggestibility. Ah, that's where the word came in. Now I'm connecting the two. Or overload states. So how do you define depression? And how can folks understand or identify if they're going into a kind of a depressive state?
Well, in terms of going into a depression, the way I define it is that it's the an end result of the repression of unresolved conflict that we feel and have no control of. It is about repressed feelings, which can come from boredom. Boredom I define as repressed feelings. Depression takes time to develop. It begins to dominate a person's life more and more. They feel the boredom, the emptiness more and more. It becomes melancholy, and then it becomes a depression. And then the first reaction is to, you know, want to escape out of this with drugs and alcohol and just get out of the pain of it. In depression, people can't really make decisions, let alone decisions that will help them get out of it. That's going to go back a little bit more into the when we talk about hypersuggestibility in a moment. But, you know, the signs of depression are a helpless, hopeless kind of conundrum, loss of interest in daily activities, sleep changes, sometimes anger, irritability, guilt, feelings of self-loathing, a fatigue, and of course, sleep problems, which I will talk about more in depth. And most of all, the feeling, the diminishment of pleasure in life. That is really, and you and I know we have a name for it, anhedonia, and it is really the loss of pleasure.
Yes, and no matter how many, and I know you know this, talking with your patients, no matter how many of their friends or you and I start suggesting they be creative and find things in their life that will make them happy, they don't get pleasure out of anything. Hey, let's go do this. Let's go do the Okay, great. I'm at the beach on a picnic. It's a beautiful day here in Southern California, but I'm depressed. You know, most people would go, yay, it's beautiful. Let's have fun and dip our toes in the sand and the water.
Yeah, people just feel flat. What we call a blunted affect. And it's just, you know, the smallest things become so painful in depression.
I wanted to ask you really quick. You said, just for listeners, you know, to understand, you said when we repress our feelings, we're pushing things down. So what you're saying is a lot of times we're feeling sad, we're feeling, they're usually sort of what we would define as more negative feelings or things we need to say to others or resentments, or we just kind of push them down in order to, you know, maybe we're not assertive enough or we don't want to make other people feel badly, yeah, or we just don't want to deal with them, basically.
Yeah, everything, the negative feelings and the positive feelings, as I said before, boredom,
yeah,
really is, wow, the defining term for it,
mm-hmm,
because people are not in touch with those feelings of what they need to say,
mm-hmm,
what they need to come into touch with,
mm-hmm,
and discuss.
Wow. Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's going on.
People, the way I usually work with depression is, mm-hmm, the first thing I do is what I call unbunching,
mm-hmm,
which really is the separating of problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I help separate them out. You know, what is a long-term issue, what has just come up,
mm-hmm,
what is a priority issue, you know, versus something that is not but just feels magnified,
mm-hmm,
when in the state of depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I then explain the message unit therapy, theory rather,
mm-hmm,
which is,
mm-hmm,
in short, about how messages come from the five different sources,
mm-hmm,
the environment, the body, the conscious mind, and the subconscious mind,
mm,
how they fill up the mind, and when too many messages come in,
right,
to this very small area of the conscious mind, which is only 10%,
right,
they become overloaded.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
when they become overloaded, they can't sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sleep really becomes a very difficult thing for them. What I then do with them is establish some short-range goals,
mm-hmm, right,
and have them develop a sense of direction that moves them forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
giving
goals to,
yes,
kind of,
yes,
help them feel better.
Give them alternatives,
mm-hmm,
and options that allow them to survive and give them hope.
Good.
People can't survive without options.
Right.
And hope.
That's right. I mean,
yeah,
that's a real hallmark too.
That is absolutely
in
the hallmark.
Determining depression.
Yeah. Yeah. My goal is to really eliminate futility.
Yeah.
And just introducing them into hypnosis, which relaxes their body.
Hmm.
That begins to dissipate many of the conditions right there without even giving them any suggestions or using any techniques, just relaxing their body, because there's one kind of golden rule, if you will, which is that anxiety and discomfort cannot coexist,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
with anxiety cannot coexist with calmness.
True.
And
that's true.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's always the dominant factor.
Wow.
And so when I put them in hypnosis and really relax their body, they begin to start venting,
mm-hmm,
which,
mm-hmm,
is releasing,
mm,
all the bottled up,
yes,
message units,
mm-hmm,
that have accumulated in their mind. Because, you know, what's happening, Dr. Michelle, mm-hmm, at this point is that their ability to use logic and reason and make decisions is really almost disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that more when we get into hypersuggestibility itself. But the neutralizing of thoughts is something that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly what is most important is I begin the venting program,
mm-hmm.
which is really to unclog the pipe because the mind becomes like a clogged pipe.
Yes, exactly.
So I begin by giving them hypnotic messages to start sleeping. And I tell them to keep a journal. And I give them suggestions to start venting out the issues and the conditions that have, you know, brought them into the state.
Right.
As well as suggestions to remember their dreams.
Oh.
Yes, because when they can come into the next session and say, Jeff, I'm so excited. I actually remembered my dream for the first time in a long time.
Right.
And then we get to talk about the dream and interpret it. One of the things that happened is that people wake up from depression with depressive dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes. Depressed people have depressive dreams.
Right. And are the themes like being chased or never being able to accomplish something or feeling oppressed?
Being stuck in quicksand, climbing, always climbing over fences, but never being able to get over the top of them. You know, not being able to run because your legs feel like lead. We all can.
Yes, out of control dreams. Yes. Out of control.
We can relate to this.
Yeah, sure we can.
So the analyzing of the dreams is so, so important.
Yes.
And as I said, people suppress their dreams in depression because they're too painful and they want to avoid the pain.
Well, that, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And I love the idea of, you know, relaxing your patients. And then when they are in that hypnotic state, you know, suggest to them to allow them to vent, you know, their stuff. And if they're in that more relaxed state, would that be like a theta brainwave or a delta? Or
yeah, it. I think it's more of a delta.
That's deep. Wow.
Brain wave, and you know there are three different levels of hypnosis too. There's the what we call hypnoidal, the cataleptic, and the somnambulistic. Most people never get past the cataleptic stage, which is, you know, when they're laying there in hypnosis and their face is just kind of sagging. The muscles are so relaxed and they're blinking like crazy under their eyelids.
Right, right.
And maybe seeing some colors and things like that. And usually the hypnoidal is about as far as they get. Just this golden feeling.
It's a good feeling.
Relaxation through and through.
I could get addicted to hypnosis. No, but you know, I've had hypnosis several times just to relax.
Did you?
And yeah, I did. And I found I felt real good with it. This is when I lived in San Francisco, and I really felt safe with the hypnotherapist who, like you, was a specialist, trained for many, many years. And, it is such a release. It's such a light feeling of carefree is the only word that I can think of. And then those suggestions to just relax and that everything's going to work out fine. And, because you are so susceptible to positive suggestion in that state of relaxation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, I'll say it again. When you're in calm, anxiety cannot coexist with calm.
Exactly.
Calm is always the dominant feeling, mm-hmm. and how you get more calm mm-hmm. than having your body go into a totally relaxed state.
Yes, yes.
You know, there's no fight flight going on.
Right.
There's no, none of that stuff that, you know, we feel from time to time during the day.
It's right.
just, people are amazed.
Yeah, they are amazed. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest in studio today is licensed psychotherapist and clinical hypnotherapist, Jeff Tannen. He has a wonderful private practice here in Los Angeles. And also, you know, he's written a great book, by the way, and other books as well. But his latest is entitled Transference. And it's sort of a suspense-filled journey to understand what goes on with our minds and what we do with other people when we go into transference. And as therapists, sometimes counter transference, which is fascinating. We're going to tell you how you can get a hold and find out more about Jeff and also pick up his book, which is a great, it's a page turner. You want to keep finding out what's going on, you know, with this relationship between the patient and the psychiatrist. It also gives you a lot of insight too, about people always have questions, you know, about what happens in a therapeutic session or with a psychiatrist. And, you know, so it's really good. Anyway, guys, if you want to call in, 323-203-0815. And I do see there are some emails that have come up here on docmichelle@aol.com. I'd like to answer, a couple of those if we can. But I really also want to kind of touch on the physical problems we have. And I, you know, from some mental trauma, because you're a specialist in that, too. And I think it'll really help people out and understand. So many people come into my office who have somatic or physical issues, a lot of physical problems.
Yep.
But it's not, they're not necessarily psychosomatic. They're real.
They are real because by the time a mental trauma mm-hmm. has become physical, it's no longer just a psychosomatic issue. It's mm-hmm. real because a particular part of the body that relates to the trauma itself, that part of the body gives us issues. There's so much of a metaphor when we talk about this stuff, like mm-hmm. I can't stomach that.
That's right.
I'm sick and tired
Oof.
Of that. I'm blinded by passion. This work is killing me. I have a blinding headache. You know, I'm so confused I can't see straight.
Wow.
All, you know, that
yes.
just shows you a
yeah.
little bit. And I call that organic language.
Yes.
Because the way in which it refers to the body.
It's literal, isn't it?
Yes, it
almost.
It really is. The first thing that it really indicates to us the proof of how mental traumas do find their way into being physical problems is, the tearing of the eyes that happen, the relaxation of the tear ducts, the eyes, watering.
Yeah,
this is the beginning of what happens, and with anxiety and tension comes
right.
The scalp tightening and constricting.
Right,
that is a real symptom of frustration, I just want to quickly talk about this. There are what I would call five body syndromes.
Okay.
Each one, I don't know if we have time to go through all of them, but all of these body syndromes relate in some way to the particular trauma that is has found its way into becoming a physical problem in the body.
Oh, so you're talking about trauma from the past, emotional trauma, losses?
Yes, and we're talking about traumas, even divorce.
Oh, okay.
Is such a stressful thing.
Right. The loss of a loved one.
Yeah. You know, all of those things. So the first of one of these body syndromes, and the most common by far that I see, I call it the crying syndrome.
Hmm.
This encompasses the area of the solar plexus upward to the chest, the entire head, the back of the neck. You could also call this the indecision syndrome because what is happening metaphorically when this happens is that a person is feeling the inability to make decisions, either because they're predicated on somebody who made better decisions or made them for them when they were younger.
Yeah.
That someone is better, or that they're told that they just don't have good decision-making skills.
Ah, so those messages from early on from whoever is that they just don't, they need someone else to help them, and because they don't have their own ability to figure things out.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And for a time, I will take on that role for them until they're able and strong enough to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But in this crying syndrome, which I think is the most major symptom and the most common that I see by far, is that when people come in that are seeing me on a weekly basis for treatment, and I give them suggestions in hypnosis for, you know, the various problems that they're having. And I will see the most amazing thing. They will have a cold.
Wow.
They'll develop a cold.
Right.
By the time they come in the next week. Now, they don't know where it's from. They think, oh, they caught it from somebody at work or something like that, but I know better.
Wow.
I know that they're having a problem making a decision to even accept the suggestion that I'm giving them.
Mm.
So they will have a cold.
So they're kind of resisting that suggestion from you. So their immune system sort of is slowly easing down and, you know, becoming a little more vulnerable. It's part of becoming a little more vulnerable to their feelings.
It's
uncomfortable.
Yes, it is. It's uncomfortable at first, but they need to be made aware of what's happening.
Mm.
You know, at this point, we'll need to definitely switch the emphasis to talking about their indecision.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, their inability to make decision and really work on that.
Wow.
You know.
Yes.
As well as, you know, whatever else it is that we're, you know, working on. You know, some of the other things that will happen in this crying syndrome are grinding of teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Which you could, you know, say is a metaphor for inability to express.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The grinding of teeth.
Wow.
And like I said, the tear ducts, the watering of the eyes.
A lot of people
having
do that.
A cold.
Right, right.
Yeah, is probably, we've all seen or know people that seem to have colds all the time.
Right. Exactly. We do. Well, yeah, interesting, huh?
These are people that are really, struggling with decision on a daily basis about some of the smallest things.
Yes. Yep. They're vulnerable. Yeah. Their immune systems are down.
Yeah.
So. Interesting. So what's another bodily syndrome that you see relating to trauma sometimes that happens with people?
The next one really is what I call the responsibility syndrome. This is the area of the shoulders, the upper back, the upper spinal area, and the psychological causes for this are a sense of too much responsibility and the fear and the weight of that responsibility, or neglecting or inability to accept facing the responsibility. So the physiological reaction of this syndrome is the tightening of the back and the shoulder muscles.
Yes.
And in some instances, if excessive or rapid movement or lifting is attempted while these sessions are present, physical damage can actually be done to the back.
Boy, you are so right about that. I've seen that a lot in people who are in that phase.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, chiropractors have a ball.
No, that's right.
Hence,
like you were talking about, the literal language. It's like, oh, God, the weight of the world is on my shoulders, literally.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And that's what happens with a lot of people.
Yes.
Yes.
From there, the next syndrome, I would call the sexual frustration or guilt syndrome. This is the area of the body that's affected are the stomach, the groin, the genitals, lower back.
Right.
Yeah. And the psychological causes for this can be, sexual frustration, religious-linked sexual guilt, guilt about infidelity, feelings of sexual inadequacy, and so forth. I'll see things like stomach cramps, constipation.
Right. That's right.
Acid stomach,
yes.
This GERD
that
we all
exactly
have.
Yes.
Excessive menstrual cramps or bleeding or no bleeding at all.
Right. That's right.
Vaginal, bladder infections, prostate pain, kidney problems. Those are some of them.
That is fascinating.
Yes.
I mean, we hear these kind of things. So this is, people who are listening here on the couch with you, Jeff Tannen, licensed hypnotherapist and also psychotherapist. Really are hopefully saying, oh my goodness, I have that a lot. Maybe that's what's going on within me. I better explore that a little deeper.
Yes, indeed. I mean, if there's a way that you can get treatment for it, I say by all means,
right.
Because, who needs to be spending so much time and money going to physicians only to hear, this will go away, take two aspirins and call me in the morning.
That's not enough suggestibility to make it go away.
Isn't.
Exactly.
It isn't.
So real quick, if we could talk about
certainly.
The other two, I want to, because this is fascinating to me. I mean, it really
is. It is fascinating stuff.
So the fourth body syndrome would be what?
That would be the a fight or a reaching syndrome. So these are the areas affected here are the arms, the hands and fingers. And the psychological symptoms really involve the need to express with a concomitant feeling, a feeling that goes along with it, that of denial or suppression mm-hmm. of that need.
Okay.
So it's the inability to reach for something that somebody desires because of a lack of feeling of self-worth and a feeling of deep rejection mm-hmm. As a result of reaching for an unattainable goal.
Well, that's interesting. And that's literal, too.
Yes.
That really is.
A quick little story about this is I had a young man who came to me. He was very, very much in love and engaged to be married and feeling very excited, but feeling conflicted at the same time and not understanding his conflict. He had on the third finger left hand, you know, the wedding band finger. Okay. He had little blisters, little red blisters that had
weird.
Yes. And he'd, of course, been to dermatologists, doctors. They really...
They couldn't figure it out, what was going on.
They were giving him all kinds of salves.
Yeah, yeah.
Things to take it away.
Right.
And it never really did because they weren't able to expose the real issue. And the issue with him was that he was deeply, deeply in love with this girl, but he felt that he wasn't worthy of reaching out for having this woman in his life.
Fascinating stuff. That is fascinating. Yeah. So real quick, what is the fifth bodily syndrome that you have explored, you know, that people can have? And it's about that time. We have to wrap the show up
real quickly. This is the flight syndrome. That affects the area of the thighs to the feet, and it indicates a need to run or escape either emotionally or physically from, you know, a particular situation or involvement. The psychological causes are a fear of facing certain situations because they may be painful, boring, a fear of disaster. You could see blistering of the toes on the bottom of the feet, etc.
So the mind and body are so deeply connected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they really, really are.
We have physical issues that are really, you know, manifested outwardly that we can see or feel that are really based on psychological states, unresolved problems much of the time.
Indeed.
Repression much of the time.
Yes.
By the way, I want to thank my sponsor today, Cash in My Bag. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle is brought to you by this great company, CashInMyBag.com. This is where you can gather up those designer purses, shoes, and other accessories you may have fallen out of love with and sell them for quick cash. At CashInMyBag.com, they'll quote high prices and provide free, prepaid, and insured shipping labels. And you get paid right away, not like consignment. That's CashInMyBag.com, where you can sell your designer purses, shoes, and other accessories. It's easy and a great way to cash and get it right now. What more could you ask for? Check it out. It's CashInMyBag.com. Just spell it out, CashInMyBag.com. Thanks so much, guys, for sponsoring the show today. It's a great company. You'll love them. Wonderful service. And also, Jeff, thank you so much for being here on the show. I love having you on the show. You're the best. You're such an intellect, and you make things so clear, I think, to the listeners. This
thank
is cool.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, and I'm sure you've helped a lot of people out today on the couch. So thanks again. If you want to get in touch with Jeff, or if you'd like to pick up his book, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, just go to my website, Jeff Tannen, TANNEN.com, or shoot me an email, urbantherapist@gmail.com. That's URB as in boy, AN therapist at gmail.com.
I love that. All right. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thanks a million for coming down today.
Thank you.
Great to have you in the studio. All right, guys, about that time. Whoops. Dr. Michelle has to go bye-bye. So thanks so much for listening here. Thanks for being on the couch. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. And then you'll be great for others. It's not a narcissistic thing. It's just how can you help others if you're down and out? Thanks for listening, guys. Next week, we're going to have another great show coming up. It's about your relationships and understanding yourself a little bit better, why you do the things you do. Take good care. You can stay on the couch if you want. More great shows coming up here on LATalkRadio.com. Bye-bye.
Flashing rays of color light.